Today's daf is Babasra daf Kuf Chav Zayin. We are holding on daf Kuf Chav Vav Amud Beis at the end of the page, about four lines before the end of the page, at Amar Rabbi Ami. The Gemara is going to start speaking about, since we're talking about Pishnayim, what the status of a Tumtum is when it comes to Pishnayim. Now, obviously, while he's a Tumtum and you don't yet know if he's a Zachar or a Nekeva, he obviously cannot get Pishnayim. But what if it's later revealed that he is a Zachar? Does he now get Pishnayim, because you know that it was that he is in fact a male? And once we're discussing that, the Gemara is going to mention five potential halachic ramifications of a tumtum who's niskala only later to be a zachar, whether he has a din of a zachar or doesn't have a din of a zachar. And the last two of those ramifications, the Gemara is going to call into question, the last two of the suggestions la halacha about a tumtum who's only later discovered to be a zachar. Then the Gemara is going to discuss a suffix. How a person who is a Safek Bechar does not get Pishnayim unless we once knew that he was a Bechar, and then later we just lost that information of exactly which one was the Bechar. That there's a difference between someone who we never knew which one was the Bechar versus a situation where we knew who the Bechar in the family was, but then it got somehow, that information became lost. Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to have a machlokas whether a father is believed to identify his son as a Bechar against the Chazaka. We have a Chazaka that he's not the Bechar, and the father says, this son is the Bechar. We know when there's no Chazaka, a father is believed to say that a son is a Bechar, and we're going to see where we know that from. But even against the Chazaka, we're going to have a machlokas whether a father is believed to identify a son as a Bechar. On the bottom of Amud Beis, Gemara is going to discuss if someone is believed to change his statement about the guy that's with him. He originally said, this guy that's with me, he's my son. And then he says, no, I meant he's my Eved. He's not my son, he's my Eved. Or vice versa. He started out saying he's my Eved. And then he says, no, he's my son. So do we believe him to change his mind about the identity of the person who is accompanying him? So let's begin four lines from the end of the page. Amar Rabbi Ami on Kufcha Vavam Beis. Amar Rabbi Ami. Amar Rabbi Ami, tumtum shenikra v'nimtza zachar. If you have a tumtum who the skin that's covering the aver hazakrus gets ripped open, and therefore you're able to identify that he is in fact a zachar. Einu notel pishnayim. Halacha number one is he does not get pishnayim like a bechar normally would, even though he may be the firstborn child in the family. The Amar Kra, because the pasuk says, "Vahaya ben habachar lasnia." Ben Mishas Havaya. It says Vahaya Haben, which means he has to have been a Ben from his very existence, from his very coming into this world, which this Tumtum was not a Ben from the time that he came into this world. He was a Tumtum when he came into this world. So that is a halachic ramification number one of a Tumtum, that he's not does not get Pishnayim. You know, there's a discussion of all the things that we're going to discuss about a Tumtum. We never discuss the halachos of Yibum of a Tumtum. The Gemara says Maseches Yevamos Nav Chav Gimel that it's the mitzvah of the Gadol Achim to do Yibum on the deceased brother's wife, and the makar of that din is from the fact that it says in the parsha of Yibum V'haya Habachar Asher Teleid Yakum Al Shem Achiv. So Prima Gadim Psicha Kolalis is not sure. Do we darshan over there also that only if he was known to be a Bechar B'Shas Leidaso that it's a mitzvah on him to do the Yibum? But if he's nolad as a Tumtum at Shas Havayasa when he came to this world, he was only a Tumtum, and then it turned out that he's a Zachar, he's not Chayiv in Yibum more than any of the other brothers. So the Prima Gadim is not sure. Can we make our own drasha like that? Is it similar enough? Is it the same exact drasha that can be made? The Gemara never makes such a drasha. So that's a little bit tricky. Then the Gemara says a second ramification of someone being a tumtum. Two lines from the bottom of Nachum Yitzchak Amar, Af Eino Nidon Kiben Sora Ramora. A tumtum, even though he's later discovered to be a male, at the time of his birth he was not yet known to be a male, he cannot become a Ben Sora Ramora. He's ineligible to be a Ben Sora Ramora. Domer Krak, as the pasuk says, ki yihi al-ish bein sorer umore. And we darshan ad shei bein mishas havaya, that he has to have been a ben already from his very existence, from his time that he came into this world. The Rashbam writes that the shas havaya, what is the shas havaya? Like we said, when he came into this world at the shas leida, the Lecha Mishnah assumes that Rashbam means that this is not only a din about the pishnayim, that shas havaya is determined as shas leida, but ben Saramoro also, we're saying that at the shas, you know, by pishnayim, it's clear that the shas leida is a critical time, because that's when a person becomes a Bechor. When we talk about becoming a Ben Sora Mora, the Shas Leida is not the critical time. It's the time that he actually becomes a Ben Sora Mora. It's when he actually commits the sins that a Ben Sora Mora has to commit. But the way the Lech Mishon says Rashbam is that he understands that in order to be eligible to be Ben Sora Mora, he had to have already been defined as a male from the Shas Leida. That is against the Shitas HaRambam. The Rambam in Ilchus Mamrim, Perek Zayin, Alach Yud Beis, writes that it has to be Mishas Hasra'a, that he was known to be a male, and that would be good enough to make him eligible to be a Ben Sora Mora. At least that's the initial version of the Rambam that we have. In the Frankel editions of the Rambam, they actually changed it to Shas Leida, so it changed it back to conform. Shas Havaya actually changes it too, but that could very well mean Shas Leida, like the Rashbam understood. So it could be that there's no real nafkamina between the Rambam, but at least in the old editions of the Rambam, it seems like there's a machlokas between the Rambam and the Rashbam over here. There's also machlokas Rishonim, whether a tumtum that's later discovered to be a zachar is a suffix sris or not. According to the Rosh in Maseches Yevamos, he has a din of a suffix sris, and therefore he can't do chalitza or yibum, because we don't trust him to be the one to do it, since he may not be chayiv in yibum or chalitza. Let one of the other brothers do it, because he is a suffix sris. The Rambam in Hilchos Yibum Chalitza, Perek Vav, Halacha Dalet, says no, he's not a sris unless we know that he's a sris. And we have no reason to assume, just because he was born as a tumtum, we don't view that as a red flag for him being a sris. And therefore he's able to do Chalitza or Yibum. So the Achronim ask on the Shitas HaRash, if you're going to assume that anyone who was born a tumtum and only later was discovered to be a zachar, if you're going to assume that every such person is a suffix sris, how do you explain our Gemara? Because after all, the Sugi Yevamos tells us that a sris does not have a din of a ben sora remora. So l'chora, in our case, yeah, even without the miut of ki yihia, anyway, he wouldn't be eligible to be a ben sora remora. Because he's a suffix sris, and so you wouldn't be able to kill him as ben sora remora anyway, because a sris cannot be a ben sora remora. So the achronim suggests that a sris is only mismayit midin ben sora remora because he's ein lo zaka. And the Gemara says that ben sora remora is only someone who has chasima zaka natachton, and a sris doesn't have chasima zaka natachton. So that's one of the simani sris. But a tumtum becomes a sris even when he doesn't have siman isris. So it could be that a tumtum has a zakana tachton even though he has a din of a sris, and that's why we need a pasuk to be memayit him from ben sora mora, as opposed to legabe dinyan of yibum. A sris is nismayit because he's not able to be molded, and he's not able to be to have children for his brothers. So that has nothing to do with siman isris. That has to do with the ability to be molded. So even a tumtum who has chasim zakan is excluded from yibum chalitza, but he's not necessarily excluded from Ben Sora Mora. Ben Sora Mora is all about the having the Simane Sris that would exclude him from being a Ben Sora Mora. A Meimar Amar, a third ramification of a person being a Tumtum who only later is revealed as a Zachar. Af eino mimait chelek bechora. He doesn't take away, his presence does not minimize from the chelek bechora of the firstborn in his family. Meaning, if he is not the firstborn child, the chelek bechora does not get minimized one bit from this child, even though he is a son, as it turns out. Shenamar v'yoldel abanim atche ben b'shas leida. When it comes to the chelek bechora, the competition for the bechor in that chelek bechora is only determined by those who are male at the Shas Leda. As Rashbam explains, this means as follows. The top Rashbam explains, Oso Tumtum Shenikra, that tumtum that gets torn open, v'nimtza zachar, and turns out to be a male. Imu pashut ve'enu b'char. Let's say he's not the firstborn. V'kol nichsei av tisha manim. So Rashbam gives an example to demonstrate. Let's say the father leaves 9 units of whatever, of money. V'hein shlosha banim. And there are 3 sons. B'char, upashut, v'tumtum. There's the b'char, there's the pashut, and there's the tumtum. Now let's say for a moment the tumtum didn't exist. There was just a b'char and a pashut. So the b'char would get 6 portions, and the pashut would get 3. Why? Because the b'char gets 3 like the pashut, then an additional 3 as his chelek b'chara. So the halacha in this case would be cholkem anachasim tchila l'shlosha chalakim ki'ilu ein kan ki'im b'char upashut. We divide the 9 units into 3 even parts as if there was only a b'char upashut here, v'atumtum k'man d'leisei, as if the tumtum didn't exist, u'magia l'chelek ha'b'char shishamanim shein beis chalakim l'fisha b'char notel pishnayim b'pashut. So it would turn out that the b'char is going to get 3 for his chelek b'chora, and then the remaining 6 chalakim you're going to divide evenly between the tumtum, the pashut, and the b'char. Nimtza chelek b'char shlosh shamanim chozim chol kamashi shamanim anasarim bein shloshtan. So it turns out nimtza b'char notel chamish shamanim. The b'char is going to end up with 5. V'atumtum v'pashut notlin kolechad shnei manim, and the tumtum and the pashut are each going to get 2. So it's not that the tumtum doesn't exist. He does exist. He gets yerusha. He's a male, so he's going to get yerusha. But his chelek pashut is the same as everyone else's chelek pashut, but he does not affect the chelek b'char that the b'char gets. So it comes out this could be like a trivia question. When do you have a chelek b'char that's larger than the chelek pashut? Normally the chelek b'char is just an extra chelek. That whatever his chelek pashut is, he gets another chelek like that for his chelek b'char. Here you have a case where his chelek b'char is larger than his chelek pashut. His chelek pashut was only 2, because that gets divided evenly amongst the 3 of them, but his chelek b'char is 3, because that's cheshbon, assuming by taking the tumtum out of the picture entirely. Then we have a 4th possible ramification of being a tumtum who is later revealed to be a male. Rav Shizvi Amar, af eino nima l'shmona, that a tumtum who is later revealed to be a male does not get a bris milah on the 8th day. Damar kra isha kisazria v'yolda zachar ubayom ashmini yimal. And we darshin ad she zachar mishas leida. He had to have been a male at the time of leida, from the time of leida. Only then does he have milah l'shmona. Rashbam says, what does it mean? He doesn't get milah l'shmona. It means if his 8th day is on Shabbos, if he was born on Shabbos, his milah is not going to be doch Shabbos, but you're still going to give him a milah on the 8th day if it's not Shabbos. It's just that if it's Shabbos, you're not going to allow it to be docha Shabbos. The Ramban in the Melchamos, Masech HaShabbos, quotes from a Tshuvas Harif that no, a tumtum shenikra and his nimtza zachar doesn't have milah l'shmona at all, which means you give him bris milah when he's 1 day old. You don't wait till he's 8 days old to give him bris. Why would you wait till he's 8 days old? The whole din of milah l'shmona is from this pasuk that we're dashening from. Avisha Kisa the oldest zachar, but Yom Hashmini Yimal. So why would you wait till day 8 at all? In Rav David Pavarsky's Shiurim, he raises the question on the Rashbam that once we're excluding a tumtum from the din of Yom Hashmini that's mentioned in this pasuk, why would we only be mima'it him from Mila Lishmona on Shabbos and not on a weekday? Meaning the Gemara in Shabbos says, so he explains, the Gemara in Shabbos says in Daf Kuf Lamed Hey that someone whose mother is not Tamei Leida does not get milah l'shmona, because the pasuk says isha kisazriyav yalda zachar tmeya shivas yamim, and then b'yom hashmini yimol b'sar l'aso. So Abaye comments that the doros harishonim yochichu, that we should bring a raya from the earlier generations where you didn't have tumas leida from the days of Avram Avinu until Matan Torah. They were still noeg bris milah on the 8th day, but they didn't have tumas leida. So Abaye asks, how can you say that if the mother's not tami tumas leida, there's no milah l'shmona? What about all the generations from Avram Avinu until Matan Torah? They didn't have Tumas Leida, but they had Mila Lishmona. So Ravasi answers, this is all in the Sugya and Shabbos Kuplamere. Ravasi answers that Alacha Shinit Natorah, Nischad Shalacha. That's what Yomi Kuin says for the day. Nit Natorah, Matan Torah happened, Nischad Shalacha. That someone whose mother's not Tamei Leida doesn't get Mila Lishmona. And the Raman Paskins, therefore, that a Yotze Dofen, where the mother is not Tamei Leida, a baby born with a C section, is Nima Lishmona, even though his Mila L'Shmon is not Tocha Shabbos. So L'Chor is strange, because Manavshach, if the Rambam passes like Rav Asi, why would he be Nima L'Shmon at all? He shouldn't be Nima L'Shmon at all. And if he passes like Abaye, why wouldn't his Mila be Tocha Shabbos? Manavshach, either he's included or he's not included in the Dinim of the Pasuk. So Reb Chaim explains in the Sefer that when Abaye says Doros HaRishonim Yochichu, what does he mean exactly? Is he trying to be mochiach that the din of Yom HaShmini is not related to Tumas Leida at all? Or is he trying to say that even though you're right, Yom HaShmini and Tumas Leida are related to each other, but nevertheless, even someone whose mother is not Tamei Leida should be Nimal Yom HaShmini, because the din of Yom HaShmini is said twice in the Torah. One time it says by Avram Avinu, Uven Shmonas Yamim Yimolachem Kol Zachar, by Avram Avinu, without any Tumas Leida, and the other time is in Parshas Tazria, B'yom HaShmini Yimol B'tzar Laso. So it could be that what Abaye is saying is, even though the din of Yom HaShmini that it says in Parshas Tazria has to do with Tumas Leida, so if a woman is not Tami Tumas Leida, the din of Parshas Tazria Yom HaShmini is not going to apply, but the din of Avram Avinu Yom HaShmini should still apply. What's the difference between the din of Parshas Tazria Yom HaShmini and Avram Avinu Yom HaShmini? Very simple. In Parshas Tazria, it's that Mila is even Docha Shabbos. By Avram Avinu, we don't know that Yom HaShmini is Docha Shabbos. It's Kodem Matan Torah. There's no indication that it's Docha Shabbos. So if you only have Avram Avinu Yom HaShmini, you're still going to do Bris Mila on the eighth day, but not if it's on Shabbos. And that's the explanation of why the Rambam holds that a Yotzei Dofen, and we paskin like this, that a Yotzei Dofen, a baby born with a C-section, doesn't have the Yom HaShmini of Parshas Tazria, but he has the Yom HaShmini of Avram Avinu, so we do the meal on the eighth day, but we won't allow it to be Docha Shabbos. That's the sheet of the Rambam. And now we understand very well the sheet of the Rashbam as well, that a Tumtum is excluded from Milas Yom HaShmini of Parshas Tazria, but the Tumtum is not excluded from the Avram Avinu Milas Yom HaShmini. So you understand very well why the Rashbam is going to say, yeah, he gets a meal on the eighth day if it turns out that he's a Zachar. It's just not going to be Docha Shabbos because he has the Avram Avinu Yom HaShmini. He just doesn't have the Parshas Tazria Yom HaShmini. And then the Gemara goes on to a fifth halachic ramification of a Tumtum that turns out to be a Zachar. Rav Shravya Amar, Af Ein Imo Tumeya Leida. His mother does not have Tumas Leida, the Amarkra, Isha Ki Tazria, V'yolda Zachar, Tmea Shivas Yamim, Ache Zachar Mishas Leida. That he has to be a Zachar already from the Shas Leida. So it says Gemara, Meisvei, Hamapelas, Tumtum, Vandrogonis, Teshev LaZachar, Ula Nekeva. But it says that if a woman has a miscarriage and it's a Tumtum or an Androgynous, she has to be Machmir for both the Yimei Tumah and Yimei Tara of a Zachar and a Nekeva. A Nekeva has twice as much Yimei Tumah for 14 days after the birth. She's Tamei Tumas Leida, but a Zachar has only half of the Yimei Tara. So she goes in both directions. She's Tamei for 14 straight days, and she's only tar from then until day 40, not until day 80. So she has all of the chumras of both Zachar and Nekeva. But wait a second, why should she have Tumas Leida at all if Rav Shravya is right? Because after all, Rav Shravya said that if you don't know the gender at the time of the birth, there is no Tumas Leida. So Tiyufta de Rav Shravya, Tiyufta. That is in fact a very strong question, an unanswerable question on Rav Shravya. Says the Gemara, okay, if it's a question of Rav Shravya, Leimitavi Tiyufta de Rav Shizvi, it should also be a question of Rav Shizvi. Rav Shizvi was the one who said that a Tumtum who turns out to be a Zachar is not Nima L'Shmona. So if you're going to tell me that the mother has Tumas Leida, so it's the same Pasuk that we learn Tumas Leida and we learn Mila L'Shmona from. So if you're going to say that the mother's not going to have, that the mother's going to have Tumas Leida, then the baby who turns out to be a male should have Mila L'Shmona as well. So says Gemara, Tana Svuke Misafkale Ulechumra. No, what you have to say is it's not that we're certain that she has Tumas Leida, it's that it's a suffix whether she has Tumas Leida or not. And therefore, when it comes to the Dinim of Tumah, we're going to go Lechumra. 14 days of Yimei Tumah, Yimei Tara only lasts till day 40, but when it comes to Dinim of being docha Shabbos for a bris milah, you're not going to allow that. You're not going to be mekel and allow being docha Shabbos for a bris milah. So that's the Rishonim explained, that the Tana wasn't sure when someone's yoledes tumtum, whether it turns out to be a zachar or whether it turns out to be in the keva, the Tana wasn't sure whether it has the din of yoledes or not, whether you have the din of tumas yoledes. So we're machmir when it comes to the din of yoledes, but if we don't yet know if it's a zachar and a keva, we have to be choshesh for both, but it's we weren't sure A, if she has din of yoledes at all, and so long as you don't yet know if it's zachar and akeva, even if she does have a din of yoledes, you don't know which yoledes to keep, which days of tumah and tahara to keep. So therefore, we're machmir of the days of tumah of a zachar and akeva. So the Ritva says, wait, if that's the issue, that A, we don't even know if she's a yoledes at all, and B, if she is yoledes, we don't know which kind of yoledes, why are we machmir to make her tame for 2 weeks, even if she didn't see any dam, like a yoledes nekeva? In that second week, we should say she's tar, misvek sveka. Maybe she doesn't have a din of yoledes at all, so she's not tame because she's not bleeding. And even if she does have a din of yoledes, maybe it's a yoledes zachar, so she's only tame for 7 days and not for 14 days. So the Ritva says that's not a svek sveka, because each of those svekos are completely independent of each other, and you could be machria each one without the other. Before the suffix, whether it ever comes up, whether she has tumas, before the suffix ever comes up, whether it's a zachar and a keva, the issue is she yoledes? So we paskin that right away, l'chumra, that we treat her as yoledes. Then, once you're treating her as a yoledes, so it makes no nafkamina for the first week. A week later, the shaila comes up. Wait, is she yoledes nekeva or not? That's a separate suffix. We would not treat that as a svek sveka because they come up a week apart from each other, and therefore they're totally independent svekos. That is the shita of the Ritva. Frak the Gemara, but wait, if we're really not sure what she is, we shouldn't just, whether she's Yoledis or not to begin with, we shouldn't just be Machmir like Zachar and Nekeva. Being Machmir like Zachar and Nekeva means between days 14 and 40, no matter how much she bleeds, she's Tahora. Because regardless of Zachar or Nekeva, as long as we know she's a Yoledis, between days 14 and 40, she's Tahora. But if we don't even know whether she's a Yoledis, so then between days 14 and 40, if she bleeds, that would make her a nida. So I hachi teshev lezachar ula nekeva ula nida mi bayilei. We should say that she has the tum of a zachar, a nekeva, and a nida. So kasha, the Gemara leaves that unresolved. Meaning, if the gears of the Mishnah teshev lezachar ula nekeva ula nida, the Rashbam points out lechara. If that were the case, if we would say Teish L'Zachar L'Nekeva Ulinida, what would be the nafkamina that she's Tamei L'Zachar? Meaning, the whole nafkamina of being Tamei L'Zachar was not about the first 7 days, because even for Nekeva, she's Tamei the first 7 days, and then the next seven as well. So what was the whole nafkamina of being Tamei L'Zachar? That you may Tara end at day 40. But if she's anyway Tamei like a Nida, so there are no Yimei Tara. So there's no, it's the kula of a zachar, that Yimei Tara end prematurely, it ends earlier, it ends at day 40. Not true. If you're worried about Tumas Nida, so it should have just said, the kasha shouldn't have been, it should say, Tami l'zachar l'nekeva l'nida. The kasha should have been, it should have said, Tami l'nekeva l'nida, and that would have covered everything. So the Rashbam points out, no, it would not have covered everything, because we have to keep in mind, there's a difference between Yimei Nida and Yimei Ziva. We're not used to this nowadays, but it used to be that when a woman becomes a Nida, so she's Tame for the 7 days of Yimei Nida, and then after that, if she bleeds any time in the next 11 days, it's a whole different set of rules of Tumah. If she bleeds any time in the next 11 days, she becomes a Zava Katana if she bleeds for 1 day or 2 days, a Zava Gadola if she bleeds for 3 days, that's going to require Shivanakiyam already, a whole different set of halachos. So if she's she bleeds, let's say, on day 34, and then she bleeds again on day 41, so is that second bleeding, is that Ziva or is that Nida? So if she was in Yimei Tara on day 34 of Zachar, so day 41 is going to be Nida blood, it's going to be the beginning of a new cycle. But if she was not in Yimei Tara, day 34 was Nida blood, which means day 41 you're already in Yimei Ziva. So you have to be Machmir on all different sides. It turns out to be a very confusing Chumrah to be Machmir for Yimei Nida, Yimei Ziva, Yimei Leda, for all of these different things. Okay, Amar Rava, Tanya Kavaseid Rabi Ami. We have a that says, just like Rabbi Ami, that supports Rabbi Yami. Rabbi Yami is one that kicked off today's daf. We started by saying that the din of a tumtum shenikra is that he doesn't get pishnayim, even though he turns out to be a zachar. We have a brisa that says just like Rabbi Yami as follows: Ben velo tumtum. Who gets pishnayim? A son, but not a tumtum. Bechor velo safek. A firstborn son, but not a safek. Someone who's only a safek bechor does not get pishnayim either. So it says Rabbi Bishlam ben velo tumtum kid Rabbi Yami. I understand what that means. Ben velo tumtum is exactly what Rabbi Yami said. What's the example of a suffix that we need to be told that if he's a suffix, he does not get pishnayim? I mean, what's that? What exactly is that coming to exclude? Because if you just want to tell me that someone who's a suffix bechor doesn't get pishnayim, obviously he doesn't get pishnayim. Hamotzi mechaver alavrai. Let him prove that he's a bechor. He's not going to get pishnayim unless he can prove that he's a bechor. Maybe not so obvious. Maybe we would have thought that that's called momen amutul b'safek cholkin, like we had yesterday, the momen amutul b'safek that you would split it. But anyway, that's the way the Rashbam understands the kasha, that of course it would be motzi mechaver alavrai. So obviously he's not going to get pishnayim. So says Mar lafuke midedarish Rava. It's coming to tell me in the case that Rava darshened about the darish Rava, shtei nashim shiyoldu beizacharim b'mechva. Let's say a man has two wives. They both get pregnant at the same time. They both go into labor at the same time. They're hidden in a room and no one is there with them, and they each give birth to a baby boy. So we have no idea which one of these boys is his bechor. Then he goes on to have other children as well. He has other sons as well later on. So now each of these boys wants to get the pishnayim. Now each one on their own cannot prove that they're a bechor. So what do? Kosvin harsha'a zelazeh. They write a harsha'a to each other, meaning they come jointly, as Rashbam explains. One of them will show up to Beis and will say, I want my chelik b'chora. And they'll say to him, but who says you're the b'chor? So they'll say, no. If I'm the b'chor, so good, then I deserve a chelik b'chor. And even if I'm not a b'chor, I am here representing my brother, who is the Bukhar, because we have given each other power of attorney. Shai Nasan li Chelko, he has given me his Chelek. Upaskin la'el, yeshlo Bukhar, kodem chaluka, viyacholimkar, velitein Chelek Bukharasa, lekol mishiyirza, that a Bukhar is allowed to sell his Chelek Bukhar before he ever takes possession of it. Vachmilsa asakralamute, that's what the Pasuk is coming to exclude. Even though minadin, it would make sense that they should be allowed to pull such a shtick, that they should be allowed to do this and therefore get the chelik b'chor and split it between the two of them, that's the gezeiras hakasuv to tell me that you don't give a chelik b'chor min hasafek, that he does not have the right to do that. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Papa l'Rava, v'hashalach ravin davar zeh sha'alti l'kol rabosai v'lo amar li davar, that Rav Papa said to Rava, but wait, Ravin once said that he asked about this shaila to all of his rabbeim and no one said anything. Baram kach amru mishum Rabbi Yanai, but then they said in the name of Rabbi Yanai, hukru ulubsof nisarvu kosvin harsha'a zelazeh. If you once knew who the Bukhar was, and then they got mixed up with each other, that's where they could write the harsha'a, and then they could get the chelik Bukhar and split it amongst them. But lo hukru, ain kosvin harsha'a zelazeh. If you never knew which one was the Bukhar, then they can never write a harsha'a to each other. So Hadar Uki Rava Amora Ale Vidarish, then Rava eventually came back and he darshened Dvarim Sharmartilchem Ta'us Hein Biyadai. And even Rava admitted in the end that they may not write a harsha'a to each other if we never knew which one was the Bukhar. Meaning, what happened over here? We said that there was a drasha that we have, Bukhar Velo Safik. So we're saying, what's the chiddush of Bukhar Velo Safik? The chiddush is to tell me that Rava's wrong. Rava wanted to say that even when we were never sure which was the Bukhar, they could just write a harsha'a to each other and between the two of them get the chelek Bukhara. The Bukhar Velo Safik, Zeres HaKasav, tell me Rava was wrong. Now the Gemara is saying even Rava admitted he was wrong. Rava later came back and he said, tell us, Ubiyadi, I made a mistake. You're right. They cannot write our Shah to each other when we never knew which one was the Bukhar. He says, tell us, Ubiyadi, Baram, kachom rumishum Rabbi Yanai. This is what we say in the name of Rabbi Yanai. Hukru l'besof nisarvu kos v'narsha zel zeh. Lo hukru, Ein kolson rasha zelaze. That it's only if you once knew who the Bukhar was, that's when they could write harsha to each other. But if you never knew who the Bukhar was, then they are not able to write a harsha one to the other in order to be able to collect the chelik b'chara. Now, we see from here that the din of a suffik is nesma'it midin b'chara b'toras vada. It's not a suffik, meaning we say that's a gzeres hakasov that he cannot receive the b'chara. Even if he is the b'chara, it doesn't make a difference. As long as we don't know him as the b'chara, he doesn't get the chelik b'chara. In the Bira Grah, Yerodeh Simen Shin Hei is the simen about Pidyon HaBen. He's medayik from the Rambam in Hilchos Bikurim Perikir Aleph that even when it comes to Pidyon HaBen, there's no chiyuv unless he's a b'char vadai. So if a guy has two wives and they both have sons and the children get mixed up b'shas leidah, we don't know which of them is the b'char, even though mimanav shach one of them is the b'char, so you would say, okay, the father's chayiv in the Pidyon HaBen, he's got a b'char, both of them were boys, so he's definitely chayiv in Pidyon HaBen. Says the Gra, he's not chayiv in Pidyon HaBen because none of them have a din of a b'char, meaning this is a chiddush din that when a suffolk b'char is not a b'char. So it's not that one of them is definitely a b'char. No, neither of them are b'char because they're both a suffolk b'char. It's a gzeres hakasuv that a suffolk b'char doesn't have the status of a b'char. Just like by Dina Yerusha, they can't write a harsha to each other and get the chelik b'chara. The same is true by Pidyon HaBen. But the Gra leaves it as a tzarachiyun. He says he's not sure. But that's what he would believe from our sugya, that the father would be putter from Pidyon HaBen. Shav Chaim Kanievsky in Derech Emunah raises the question that the Gemara Maseches Becharos Daf Mem Zayin and Beis writes that a mevakeres that didn't wait 3 months after she got divorced from her previous husband and then she gives birth and we don't know who the father of this child is, both fathers are putter from Pidyon HaBen misafek. But when the son gets older, he's chayiv liftos es atzmo, because he's definitely a bechor, he just doesn't know whose bechor he is, which father, which husband of his mother is his real father. But he's a bechor, so neither father is chayiv in Pidyon HaBen, but he's chayiv in Pidyon HaBen on himself when he grows up. So says Rav Chaim Kanievsky, wait a second, apparently he never knew who his father was, and nevertheless he's chayiv in Pidyon. So you see that a safik bechor does have a din of a Bukhar against the Gra. The Gra wanted to say from our Gemara that just like a Safik Bukhar does not have a din of a Bukhar for Yerusha, a Safik Bukhar does not have a din of a Bukhar for Pidyon HaBen, and the father who has two sons and one of them is Bukhar, he just can't identify which one is Pater from Pidyon HaBen. But says Rav Chaim, we have a Beferish HaLacha that if he knows that if a child knows he's a Bukhar, he just doesn't know from which father he's Chayiv in Pidyon HaBen. So Rav Chaim gives the obvious distinction. I mean, you have to say the obvious answer. He's not a Safik Bukhar. He's in the case where we don't know which guy is his father. He's a vada bechor. He just doesn't know whose bechor he is. That's very different than a suffik bechor. When you have each child and you look at each child and say, I don't know if you are bechor, that's a suffik bechor. But if you know that this kid is a bechor, he just can't identify which one is his father, that's not a suffik bechor. That's a vada bechor. You just can't make the father pay the money because hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. By the way, when it comes to Hilchos Pidyon HaBen, we do say that. We say hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. One might have thought, what do you mean? Pidyon HaBen is a din in Isra v'heter. It's a halacha. It's not a dini mamonis. No, we paskin whenever you have a suffik pidyon. We paskin. We don't do pidyon HaBen. It's a case of hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. I just had a shaila recently. My brother had where a guy bought coins for pidyon HaBen, and it turned out that the person who was selling the coins thought that he was just renting the coins. He didn't realize that he was selling the person the coins. The guy paid $61 for the coins, and it turned out the fellow called him 2 weeks later and said, when are you giving my coins back? He said, what am I giving you a coin? I'm not giving you coins back. I bought them from you. He said, no, he said, I already gave them to the coin. I mean, they're gone. So he said, no, I was renting them to you. So if the person only had das to rent them to him, then he never owned the coins. Maybe it's not, but maybe it's Dvar Mishablev. Who says that he really only had das to rent them to him? So it might only be a suffik. It might be a suffik whether he requires Pidyon HaBen. So you would think, knee-jerk reaction, just do it again. You know, the coin should cost more than $60, you know, but so spend $150, buy coins, and do it again, because you don't want your kid to be without a pidyon. But that's not really the halacha. The halacha is if you have a suffik, whether the pidyon worked or not, the halacha is you don't do a pidyon HaBen. Motzi mechavero alav haraya. Okay, back in the Gemara. Sholchalei b'nei Akra da'agma l'shmol. The b'nei Akra da'agma sent to Shmuel. Yilam denu rabenu. Hayu muchzakim b'zeh shu b'char. Va Va'amar aviv al acher b'char hu mahu. What if you had a chazaka that this guy was a b'char, and then the father comes along and says, no, this guy is the b'char, the other son is the b'char. What's the din? Is the father believed to change the chazaka? So shaluch lu kosvin arsha'a zelazeh. So he said, well, they could write arsha'a to each other, and then they could get the chelik b'chorah. So it says, manavshach. Well, what do you hold over here? If you hold like the Rabbanan, then paskin like the Rabbanan. And if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, then paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. So what exactly is the case of Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan? The Gemara has not yet explained. But we have to just give at least the Rashi Prakim. They argue whether a father is believed to say that a son is a Bechar. So if you hold that a father is believed to say that a son is a Bechar, good, so believe the father and let the kid that the father identified get the Bishnayim. If you don't know that the father's believed, so what do you need a harsha for? The one who was originally Mukhsak is the one who's the Bukhar. So why would you ever have to write a harsha between them in order for them to be able to get their chilek Bukhar? So says Gemara, Misafka le ik Rabbi Yehuda ik Rabbanan. We weren't sure whether we pass them like Rabbi Yehuda or the Rabbanan. That's why we say we write the harsha. So Mahi, what is this machlokesh? Where do we have Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan argue about such a thing? Titania, the Brisa tells us as follows. Yakir, Pasuk says Yakir, Yakirenu la'achirim, which means that the father is trusted to identify to other people who his Bechor son is. That's what we darshan from Yakir. Mikan Am Rabbi Yehuda, Neman Adam Lomar, Zebni Bechor. From here we see that Rabbi Yehuda says, a person is believed to say, this child of mine is the Bechor. Ukashem Shneman Adam Lomar, Zebni Bechor, Kach Neman Adam Lomar, Ze Ben Grusha v'zeh ben Chalutza. Just like a father is believed to say, this son of mine is a Bechor, he's also believed to say that this son of mine is a Ben Grusha or a Ben Chalutza, which is an additional chiddush to say that he's believed that the son is a Ben Grusha or Ben Chalutza. Because after all, the Ritva raises the question, we have a klal in halacha, Eino de Mesa Masva Rasha. So if he's a Kohen, how could he be believed to say that the son is Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza? He's being Mesa Matzma Rasha. He's saying that he violated an Isser of marrying a Grusha or marrying a Chalutza, and that's how his son became a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. So the Ritva says, Taka, why is that true? Why would he be believed? So the Ritva says a few possibilities. First of all, maybe he's made that he married a Grusha Bishogeg, that he didn't do it on purpose, so he's not a Rasha. Or he says, Gzeres HaKasav, that a person is Neman to Pasul son. That's the Gzeres HaKasav of Yakir. That you're right. Normally, Ein Adam Mesa Matzma Rasha, but over here we have Gzeres HaKasav Yakir that he's able to say, he's able to identify the Yichus of his son. Or it could be that he's even saying that he married a Grusha B'mezid, but we're Palgina Dibura. We don't believe him about himself, but we believe him about, we don't believe that he did it B'mezid, but we do believe him that he married a Grusha. We just say, no, you didn't do it on purpose, it was shogging. And he's like, no, I did it on purpose, and we don't listen to that part. We listen to the part that says that he married a Grusha, we just don't believe him that he did it on purpose. So that is Rabbi Yehuda Shita, that a man can identify his son as a Bechar, as a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. It's all from the pasuk of Yakir. The Chum Omrim Eino Neman. The Chum say no. A man is not believed to identify his son in such a way. Amrle Ranachem Rizik LaRava. Bishlam Rabbi Yehuda Hainu D'Chsiv Yakir. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it makes a lot of sense. That's what the pasuk Yakir is coming to teach me. That a father is able to do that. That he's able to identify his son's Yichus or Bechorah. El Rabban Yakir Lameli. What did the Rabbanan learn from the word Yakir? So says Gemara, you know what they learn from the word Yakir? Bitzara Chakera. Let's say you have a case where there's no chazaka, so we have no idea who's who. And then the father comes along and he says that this son is a Bechor. That even the Rabbanan would agree. He's believed. L'may hilchsa, l'misva, lo pishnayim, to give him pishnayim. So that's why the father's going to be, if we have no idea who the Bechor is, the father can come along and say, this one is the Bechor. But let's say we knew that Reuven was the Bechor, then the father changes everything. He says, no, Reuven's not the Bechor, Shimon's the Bechor. That's where Rabbi Yehuda is going to say the father's believed, and the Rabbanan will say, no, the father's not believed. But wait a second, if the Rabbanan just learned from Yakir that when there's no chazaka, the father can identify the Bechor, lo yehe ela acher ilu bay lemisvle matana milo yavle. Why do we need that manus of the father? You want to give pishnayim to the kid? Give pishnayim to the kid, meaning before you die, give him as a matana twice as much as you give anybody else, and that's it. And then you'll be done. Then you don't have to worry about it. Why would we need manus of the father to say that the kid's a buchar in order to supply the kid with pishnayim? If that's what the father's whole kavana was, he could have just given it as a matana. So lotzricha bin chasm shnafel leyachar mikan. We want, let's say, he gives it as a matana, but then the father gets more nechasim, and he wants the buchar to get pishnayim of that. It's much easier to just identify him as the Bukhar, and then whatever nechassim the father has when he dies are automatically going to go to that kid. But according to Rameir, you could even be makna that as a matana. Even that which you don't have yet, you could just give as a matana, because Rameir holds you could be makna davar shlo b'liolam. So what did the Rabbanah learn from Yakir? Let's say he gets nechassim when he's a goseis, and he can't be makna them because he can't speak. He's a goseis. So that's where we need the Yakir according to the Rabbanan. Now the Rashbam explains over here that the Chum disagree on both dinim of Rabbi Yehuda, that the father is not neman to pasul the son as a ben grusha ben chalutza, and he's not neman to say that his son is a buchar against the chazaka. Now, according to the Chachamim, even the Chachamim are moda that the father's believed to say his son is a buchar when there's no chazaka. He's just not neman to say his son is a buchar against the chazaka. So Ksos just points out that it turns out that there are two completely separate machlokas over here. Meaning the idea of identifying him as a buchar and the idea of identifying him as a ben grusha mechalutza are completely separate machlokas. Because when it comes to buchar, the whole machlokas is only whether he's believed against the chazaka. When it comes to ben grusha ben chalutza, it's not about a chazaka at all. It's even when there's no chazaka, they're arguing whether he's believed to identify his son as a ben grusha ben chalutza. It's got nothing to do with the chazaka. The Rashbam and Tosos also raise the question: is a father believed to say, let's say you don't even know that this is his child at all, is Yakir something that would allow him to identify the person as his son in the first place? Meaning, once we know it's his son, okay, so Yakir teaches me you can identify him as a Bukhar, certainly when it's not against the Chazaka. What if we don't even know that this person is his son? Does Yakir work to identify him as a son? So Tos is going to say in Daf Kufla Medalad Amin Beis that Yakir does not work to identify someone as a son, because Yakir is a special din in the father, that only the father has this Ne'amanus of Yakir. Well, I don't know that he's the father. So mainly he doesn't have the Ne'amanus of Yakir. The Rambam and the Rush disagree. They hold that someone, you know, when you say Zebni Bukhar Ne'aman, those are two statements. Zebni, and then also Bukhar. And he's believed on both halves of those statements. So that's the question. You know, it's like Boim Ka'achas. So only a father is given the Ne'amanus of Yakir, so is he considered a father if you didn't yet know that he was a father at the time that you gave him that Ne'amanus? We have a couple more minutes. Let's go a little bit further. Tan Rabbanan. Hayu Mukzakin Bo Shu Bukhar. If you have a chazaka that he was a Bukhar. Va'amar Aval Acher Shu Bukhar. And the father says, no, the other guy is a Bukhar. Ne'aman. He's believed. Hayu Mukzakin Bo She'eno. Let's say you have a chazaka that he's not a bukhar. Va'amar aviv bukhar hu. And the father says, he's a bukhar. Eino ne'aman. He's not believable. What's the difference? If you have a chazaka that one of them is a bukhar, isn't that the same as a chazaka that the other guys aren't? So how could in one case that he's ne'aman, the other case not ne'aman? Reisha Rabbi Yehuda v'sefer Rabbanan. Eino chanami. It's machlokas. Those are two different shitos in Tanaim. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Amar benihu v'chazar va'amar avdihu eino ne'aman. If he says, this is my son, and then he comes back later and says, nah, it's my eved. We don't believe him. Avdihu v'chazav amr b'niyu ne'eman. But if he said he was my eved, and then he came back and he said he's my son, he is believed. Why would he call him the eved? D'mishamish li ka'avdaka amr. He's saying he serves me like an eved. You learn the kibbut avayim sugis, meseches kiddushin, the ways that some of the holy amoraim treated their parents, those were a way that an eved would treat a master. V'chilufa abes ameches. But the opposite is true when it comes to when he said these statements by the tax collector, because he was just trying to get out of paying the taxes. So if he originally said that Avdi and then he said Bini, he's not going to be believed. He would have no motivation to say Avdi. He's going to have to pay taxes on his Avadim. So that he's not going to be believed to change. But if he originally said Bini and then he said Avdi, we say, oh yeah, of course he originally said Bini. He was trying to get out of paying taxes. So it's just one fact. He's not going to have to pay taxes for owning the Eved. Hayah over al Beis HaMechas v'amar Bini v'chaz v'amar Avdi. avdiu neman. Amar avdiu v'chazram b'nihu eino neman. Like we just said, meisvei ha'im shamshu kabenu ba'va amar b'nihu v'chazav amar avdiu eino neman. If he was being mishamishim like a son is mishamish a father, and he says he's my son, and then he comes back and he says he's my eved, he's not neman. Ha'im shamshu ke'eved u'ba'va amar avdiu v'chazav amar b'nihu eino neman. If he was mishamishim like an eved, and he said he was my eved, and then he said he was my son, he's not believed. That's where he called him an avda meitzama. That's when he's not going to be believed to change his mind and say, no, I meant he just serves me like an eved. My meitzama. What does that mean? What's meitzama? What is it? Why would calling him an eved meitzama make the case so different? Meitzar avda kuf zuzi means that this eved is worth 100 zuz. A person might refer to his son as an eved because the son serves him like an eved, but he would never say he's an eved worth 100 zuz. You don't put a value on your children. You only put a value on your avadim. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up two lines from the bottom tomorrow. Oh, yeah.